In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dearly beloved in Christ, there's no time in history that faith has been more required. Faith and trust in God, and of course love of God, but especially faith and hope. And faith will heal the spiritual diseases of our souls. It cures the darkness of our intellect, teaching us the teachings of divine revelation, the truths of divine revelation. It also heals the corruption of the heart, instructing us in all the virtues. And then finally, it helps us to stay unattached to creatures, teaching us patience and resignation. My dearly beloved in Christ, God created us for a purpose, to know, love, and serve Him in this world so that we can be happy with Him in heaven. Can an animal think or speak or laugh or repent? No. Neither can it adore, love, or serve God. Free will and intellect raises us to a higher plane than the animals. But it's faith that gives us, raises us to the pinnacle above them and shows us the glory of our ultimate end and destiny, heaven. Faith is a virtue by which we firmly believe all the truths God has revealed on the Word of God revealed them, because He can neither deceive us nor be deceived. Faith, therefore, consists in believing. Every kind of human knowledge consists in believing, but there's a difference between human faith, human knowledge, and the virtue of faith. In all knowledge, something has to be accepted as true. But for what reason is it accepted as true? Usually, you come to a conclusion through reasoning, or you sense it. In most cases, you see it. And then lastly, there's the testimony of experts and reliable witnesses. For example, Christopher Columbus and his companions set foot on the soil of America, but they certainly believed in the New World before they saw it and walked upon it. But once they landed here, they trusted the evidence of their senses. However, long before his discovery, Christopher Columbus was convinced of the existence of the New World. Had anyone told him about the New World? Perhaps. From his own observations, he came to the conclusion. He had seen pieces of wood curiously carved that were unknown in Europe at that time, but they were brought to the shores of Europe by westerly winds. Obviously, they were not fashioned by the ocean, but they were products from another country, an undiscovered country. It was an unfamiliar type of wood that wasn't growing in Europe. And the inhabitants of this other land had carved these objects. Therefore, he found evidence that persuaded him that America existed. Just as when we see smoke rising from a chimney, we feel that there's a fire burning inside, although we don't see it. After Christopher Columbus discovered America in 1492, he returned to the court of King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella. He told them of the wonderful country on the other side of the ocean, and the strange variety of plants and animals he had seen. Do they believe Columbus? On what grounds? They had not seen America. They had not proved the likeliness of America by the reasoning as he had done. So why did they believe him? Because Christopher Columbus was a reliable and conscientious man who bore witness to his discovery. And he also brought big gifts back from the New World. So Christopher Columbus first believed before seeing, because he had evidence of the existence of the New World. And then his companions believed when they had seen it with their own eyes. And then Ferdinand and his court simply on the testimony of Columbus. In the strict sense, faith consist in accepting as true something we have neither seen for ourselves nor deduced from observations. We hold something true which another person has told us because he has told us. This kind of knowledge, in other words, relying on the word of someone else, is our primary way of learning. All we know of the past of distant countries and peoples rests on faith. How could children be educated unless they accepted as true what their parents told them? How could pupils learn if they refuse to believe the words of their teachers? How can we accept written history if we do not admit the credibility of the early historians? How could a judge come to a decision unless he trusted the testimony given by witnesses under oath? Therefore, one source of human knowledge is believing the testimony of trustworthy persons. It's faith in the secular sense of the word. But we read in the epistle today, St. John says, if we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. So in the Christian sense, faith is believing what God has said or revealed to us. Surely we believe people worthy of our trust. Therefore, we should more firmly believe what God has revealed to us. If we wish to save our soul, faith is necessary. How far is it necessary? It's indispensable. Just as breathing is necessary for life, so faith is necessary for salvation. If you wish to be saved, you must have faith. Christ said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. And then St. Paul said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He who does not believe is already judged. Why? Because it's so serious a sin that it alone is sufficient to condemn someone to hell, to reject the true faith, supernatural faith. In order to participate in the graces of the redemption, we must both be baptized and believe, and of course do good works. Faith is a connecting link in our chain to our Savior. My dearly beloved in Christ, what's the subject matter of our faith? It's the doctrines contained in the Apostles' Creed, which is a summary of our faith, and then the Ten Commandments, the Six Commandments of the Church, and then Catholic teaching on grace, the sacraments, etc. God's teachings are always true. Christ doesn't accept the cafeteria-style Christianity, where one picks and chooses what he will believe and what he will not believe. Either you accept all that God has revealed, or you reject it all. And it's just so sad to see so many of these non-denominational churches. They reject the Catholic teaching, divine revelation, but then they reject all these other religions. They have their own religions. They make up their own churches. God's wisdom surpasses ours in such to an infinite degree that we must believe all he tells us and hold it to be true. Not because we understand it, but because he's all holy and an all-knowing God who has revealed it to us. And even though there's supernatural mysteries such as the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Eucharist, we believe completely in God's teaching. And this is a foundation on which we build our Catholic faith. Our Lord told St. Thomas in the Gospel today, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So, God knows all things. He can neither deceive us, nor can he be deceived. Because he's eternal truth. He's infinite holiness. He cannot lead us astray, so we have to believe what God teaches. So, faith is a theological virtue by which we believe the truths that God has revealed to us. What are we bound to believe? Everything without exception that God has revealed. So heretics choose certain doctrines that they don't agree with, and then they reject them. That's a sin against faith. To whom has God revealed his teaching and his laws? Has God spoken to you or to me? No, he's not spoken to each individual person, but a certain group of men, a certain group of people, and through them to all the rest. So in the old law, we had God speaking to Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, etc. And then the prophets who had a specific mission from God. And in the New Testament, the Son of God himself came to teach us what we must believe and what we must do to be saved. And then through the apostles, we've learned his teachings. They were the earliest teachers of his church. And divine revelation ended at the death of Saint John, the last apostle. So all that God has revealed in the Old Testament and the New Testament has been preserved, proclaimed, and proposed by the Catholic Church. So the virtue of Christian faith is to believe without doubting the truths God has revealed to us and communicated to us through the Catholic Church. The opposite of worshiping the true God is wandering. We either worship the true God or you wander through life. If it's true that when we worship, we're turning our lives toward the one whom we believe to be the way, the truth, and the life, then what happens when week after week we instead turn in another direction, choosing distractions, diversions, and detours? Will we wake up one day lost in the woods, wondering what happened to the trail of truth that might have led us home? The path before us, terrifying, unfamiliar, our lives unrecognizable. But that's what happens. We lose our faith and our life is ruined. When God seems that far away, is it because God has strayed? No. We've wandered. How many times have I heard people say something like, when I miss Mass on Sundays, it throws the rest of my week off? Perhaps this is because faithful attendance at Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation is not only about what we do on Sunday, but about the graces that we've missed or gained and the depth of faith that we have to deal with the rest of the week, the rest of our lives. Weekly attendance at Mass is one of the Ten Commandments. And 21 centuries of Christian tradition maintain that it's a primary means of growing closer to God, the maker and giver of life. So, just like to close with a real short story. There's an old story about a boy who had wandered far from home. When the police officer found him, he was sitting on a doorstep crying. The officer asked him where he lived, but the child didn't know his address. The officer named street after street, hoping that he might recognize one of them. He named shops, stores, theaters, and hotels in the area, but none sounded familiar to the child. Then the officer looked up, and his eye caught sight of the towering steeple of a large Catholic church that stood in the center of town. He pointed to it and said, "Son, do you live anywhere near that?" The child's face lit up like a Christmas tree. He jumped up and cried, "Yes, take me to that place, and I can find my way home from there. Take me to that place, and I can find my way home from there." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.